Planet FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
When you go to a mental hospital, you see people that you couldn't really teach meditation to. The ones who need to learn meditation are the ones who are helping them. And because if you haven't been there, if you haven't been through your dark night of the soul, to the depths of the heart, if you haven't done it, you can't help others. You have to look at your own sorrow and pain and come to terms with guilt, with the past, with the fact that this world isn't a fairer or an equal place. And that's when you become really effective. But the goal in doing soul work is to become more like who you really are. And if you think of it like an acorn that you can't find if you do surgery, it's just an invisible acorn in there, but it's there. It's like the seed of an oak tree that contains everything that's necessary for the oak to become this beautiful, massive being. And there are no two trees the same. They may all look the same, but they're not all the same. And, you know, and what's their destiny? One may be destined to be a shade tree for 100 horsemen. Another may be destined to be fine furniture. And a third may be firewood. So that's all kind of written in the soul's code.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth.
In the studio this morning, I have Bill Watson. Bill and I have known each other for close on 40 years, and in my dealings with Bill and meeting with him, I found that he's got a vast knowledge of what's happening in the world. It's a very broad spectrum, which I really, really like. And so I'm extremely pleased that he's able to come in, because today we're wanting to talk about soul, S-O-U-L. And the fact that the greatest story ever told around that in many, many, many languages. And so I wish to say, kia ora, Bill.
Kia ora, Tim. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, Bill. Well, the human species at the moment, here we are, and a lot of people think that we're here. We're born to reproduce, to die, and we've got this little flash in the pan of the totality of time, and that's it. It's all over. Well, there's another story, and I'll go to the most basic, and there's a Latin word that's called anima mundi, and this means world soul. And according to several systems of thought, an intrinsic connection between all living things on the planet, which relates to the world in much the same way as the soul is connected to the human body. And Plato adhered to this idea, and it was an important component of all Neoplatonic systems. And I'll just close in. Therefore, we may consequently state that the world is indeed a living being endowed with a soul and intelligence, a single, visible, living entity containing all other living entities, which by their nature are all related. And so this is how I see it, Bill, and I would like to ask you first to give a little appraisal of what you've studied over your life, and then we can get down to finding what this is all about.
Sure, Tim. I've studied a variety of things. It's been a fairly diverse kind of background. You mentioned Plato, and of course, Greek philosophy and mythology is the background of our Western society, and Plato's Republic, it's where he talks about the myth of error, and that's where souls choose their lot, which is kind of a portion of fate to fulfill. And there are three fates. There's
Lachesis, Clotho, Atropos, who spins the fabric, weaves it, and then Atropos cuts it, and that's it. And that seals it, and then they passed beneath the throne of necessity, and then they crossed the plane of Lethe to create a blank slate, a tabula rasa. That's what we come in with. But the fate is sealed in another reality, in another dimension. And it's by living that myth and aligning with the call of the soul, or fate, or necessity, whatever you want to call it, that we actually thrive. This means that we flow with the good times and the bad, because they're all necessary and help fulfill it in this 3D bipolar world. And you asked about my background. Well, I have degrees in cognitive, organizational, and East-West psychology. I started off as a director of organization development for Kaiser Permanente in the U.S. And after 5 years of that, I got on my yacht and sailed to New Zealand. That was 75. I was one of the first to apply organization development in New Zealand organizations. So basically, I'm a research psychologist. I've been guest professor of psychology at South China Normal University, lectured at China Medical College in Taichung, been adjunct faculty at Transpersonal Psychology Institute in California and the Department of Management Studies at Auckland University. So in addition to the work in psychology, I've been involved in bioenergetic medicine, and that's primarily with homotoxicology and flower essences. And in the 90s, I was part of a multidisciplinary team on a project that was funded by the Taiwan government to study the effects of flower essences on the emotional patterns of Chinese patients. And that provided some very interesting results.
Yes, well, thank you. That's a wide experience built on the subtleties. And, of course, the soul is subtle, to the degree that a lot of people don't even believe they've got a soul now. How do we approach this story?
Well, every religion has some notion of soul. The people that don't believe that there's a soul mostly would be called atheists. But we have what's known as a great chain of being. This goes back, I think, to Plato. It's a hierarchy of body, mind, soul, and spirit. Okay, so the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual dimensions. And, of course, spirit's the highest dimension of being, and it's also the ground of reality of all dimensions of being. So that you could say that someone who is spiritual lives in harmony with universal law, and that is the mark on the wall. The soul is a bridge between body, mind, and the spirit. It was C.S. Lewis, I think, who said, "You don't have a soul. You are a soul."
Thank you. Yes.
You have a body.
Yes.
Okay? There's been discussions about this in literature for centuries. Edgar Cayce says, "Each soul enters with a mission. We all have a mission to perform." And I think that that's really a critical piece.
It is. You see, how I see it, if I go up to Auckland University, or I go to any university in the world and say, "Can you tell us about a soul?" And they would just flick me off and say, "You're talking nonsense. There's no soul." This is what I want to get to the heart of, Bill, because I go up to the psychology department or I see a psychiatrist and I say, "Tell me what you know about being a psychiatrist." And they'll waffle on and say, "Well, we're in a physical body that is endeavoring to negotiate existence." And I say, "But you're a psychiatrist. Psychology. Psychiatrist means Greek for soul. And iatry is a medical treatment from Greek, iatrikos, medical from aesthia, to heal." And if you don't even know that, then why are you talking about something that you don't know anything about?
Modern psychology uses a different cosmology than Plato did. The cosmologies of today, which are to do with big bangs and black holes and antimatter and curved and ever-expanding space that goes nowhere, kind of leaves us in a sense of dread and random events. And science's cosmology say nothing about the soul. Our lives to modern science are just blips on a radar screen, nanoseconds in the scientific mythos. What's the purpose of anything? Picasso says that the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. That's exactly what he's done. And he also said, "I don't develop, I am." And that is true of all of us. Each of us bears a uniqueness that asks to be lived. We're born with a unique character. It's kind of a birthday gift that's reflected in your birth chart, in your astrological chart, which is a really useful tool for finding out what we're here to be and to do. So one of the authors that I have found particularly enlightening on this subject is James Hillman, who essentially turns the tree of life upside down. He puts the roots in heaven, and you see a gradual descent down to 3D and human affairs. And the soul, being up there, is reluctant to come down and get messed up by the world. And so the challenge, in a way, is to grow down, because as we are dumped in here into a body and take our first breath, we all of a sudden have a blank slate. And from that point on, we're picking up things that we think are slights or injustices or in some way are emotionally disturbing to us. And as we accumulate those, we get layers and layers of baggage between us and our soul's purpose. And in order to really know your purpose, you have to clear that all off. And that's what modern psychology is for. Although there are ancient and some alternative ways of getting at it.
That's right, of clearing your being.
Exactly.
Whereas I know modern day medicine says, here's some drugs, take them home, use them. If you have any side effects, come back and we'll find another drug for you.
Exactly.
And so we've become a drug down society, when what he might have been able to say, he says, well, look, I'm going to teach you a certain way of stilling your mind so that you can meditate to such a degree that see yourself as a dirty glass of water. And when you still your mind, all this dirtiness, this silt in this glass sinks to the bottom and stays at the bottom, and then you have clarity in your glass, and then light can pass through it, and that's when you can actually work towards insight and becoming a greater seeing of who you are in this life.
Well, Tim, I agree that meditation is really important, but it's not something that's appropriate for everybody to start with, because this is a very, very kind of stressful existence that we have chosen to incarnate in, and sometimes it's really painful to live in the body. But you have to be grounded if you want full liberation or freedom. Things like Tai Chi and yoga and gardening, physical things that connect us with the earth, and maybe less computers, less games, less mobiles, things that get you out of your head are particularly good. And, you know, people collect and store desires, fears, anger, greed, boredom, hatred, restlessness. You know, these are all difficulties in soul development. They're challenges in learning patience and kindness. And when you go to a mental hospital, you see people that you couldn't really teach meditation to. The ones who need to learn meditation are the ones who are helping them. And because if you haven't been there, if you haven't been through your dark night of the soul, to the depths of the heart, if you haven't done it, you can't help others. You have to look at your own sorrow and pain and come to terms with guilt, with the past, with the fact that this world isn't a fair or an equal place. And that's when you become really effective. But the goal in doing soul work is to become more like who you really are. And if you think of it, as Hillman does, like an acorn that you can't find if you do surgery, it's just an invisible acorn in there, but it's there. It's like the seed of an oak tree that contains everything that's necessary for the oak to become this beautiful, massive being. And there are no two trees the same. They may all look the same, but they're not all the same. And, you know, and what's their destiny? One may be destiny to be a shade tree for 100 horsemen.
Another may be destined to be fine furniture. And a third may be firewood. So that's all kind of written in the soul's code.
Yeah, well, thank you, Bill. Because I want you to go back again, because at the moment, a lot of people are not wanting to reflect inwards. They're too enmeshed in the outside world. Mm-hmm. And with all these devices and God knows what else that the internet facilitates. So what I'm wanting to do is that when I go right back to the Bible, that King James Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." But what's happened since then, they've said the same thing. "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And now the latest one is that God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a creature. I took this off the World Wide Web today. We have been dumbed down. So what's happening? We've gone from a soul to a living being to a creature. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people are getting, I'd say, a very reduced understanding of what we are. And so I'm just wanting to bring this into focus, and I'm sorry. And if you can now carry on putting what you feel into it, because I'm just wanting to let people know that we are more than our physical body.
I think, Tim, that what you've just said is a reflection of programming and how we are being misdirected by individuals who have an agenda. I could go into more details on that, but not everybody would probably agree with me. But I think you would agree that devices, internet, social media, you know, I think they are all precursors to the coming artificial world that will be inhabited by creatures that may not have the same access to a sense of soul and a sense of purpose that we do. I see significant changes coming in humanity in the next decade.
Very. Yes, I agree.
And some of the things that are of concern are things that actually deaden the soul. And one that comes to mind is something like Grand Theft Auto. You've probably seen that.
Yes.
Okay. I just shake my head and wonder at games like that. You know, the character you play is a thug, and you're in control of this guy, and your goal is to escape and to rip innocent people out of their cars and take their cars through the streets at 110 Ks and, you know, bash into people and objects and fly off cliffs for senseless and ugly, really. And these formative minds that are playing this game get a totally unrealistic idea of what happens when a car hits a fixed object. You know, in this game you can roll a car and drive off unharmed, and people are watching things like this and programs full of violence, and they witness scores of killing each day. And you know what's happening is that they're being deadened at the soul level,
desensitized,
homogenized too, and the mind gets very cluttered with all this. And the challenge, of course, is to silence the mind. But I think that what people have to start doing is listening to their inner authority. You know, what does your gut tell you about this program? Is this the right thing to be doing? You know, the mind will always have an argument ready and say, oh, yeah, sure, it's fine. You know, after all, it's just a program, isn't it? But it's conditioning. And we're being conditioned to accept things that aren't right for us as humans.
Well, what I'm concerned about, I have no worries, everybody, but I do have some concerns.
Important distinction, actually, Tim, yes.
Thank you. At the moment, TV is putting on so many violent and macabre and really weird stuff that you see bodies blowing up in slow motion and God knows what else. At night, people are watching this and they're going to bed and they're taking this imagery to bed with them, and it's eroding our being. It's eroding our psychology, and it's eroding our soul. And we're carrying around all these thoughts all the time, Bill. This is, and you can see why the world in many ways is fragmented and dysfunctional, is because we're programming ourselves with that which is not actually here to benefit us.
That's true. And this program that we have, the soul program, can be for good or otherwise. It's souls choose, or you could say they get dumped into bodies where they can act out or live out their particular trajectory, soul trajectory. And that could be positive or negative. And life, Tim, is all about choices. And we're confronted with situations where we have to choose every day. Even when we go in through a cafeteria line, you know, we have to choose between the vegetable meal or meat meal or whatever. But there are much larger choices that involve ethical kinds of questions. And it's very easy to fall away from the right ethical choices. There's an African saying that all it takes is one step to fall into a pit, all the rest will follow.
True, that's right. Yes, well, again, Bill, I really wanted to convey the fact is that so many people still do not believe that they've got a soul. And I'm wanting to see if we can keep focusing on this for a while, because I've spoken to you. Out-of-the-body and near-death experiences are one of the best examples to allow people realize that we're more than our body, that we're floating above our body in a hospital, seeing the surgeons working on us, and we're listening to all the things that have been said and who's involved, etc. We notice everything, and we can even skip to where our mother is 20 kilometers away and see what she's doing. And there is most probably a million reports in the world today of people who have had out-of-the-body experiences or near-death experiences. So what does this mean? It means that, in actual fact, we are far more than we ever thought possible, and doctors who are actually trained by the so-called system of mechanistic reductionism say we don't actually have a soul. We're just a body. And yet, here we go. We find out that people all over the place. Just this morning, I got an email from a friend that said, Tim, a guy's just had a near-death experience. Would you like to be able to interview him? And I said, thank you, thank you. I'm doing a show on the soul today. And so, yes, I'm very happy to do this. But this, dear listeners, we've got to really get serious. Do you really want to work hard all your life, bring children whom you love into the world, and then have to say goodbye to all of that at the end of your life?
That would be kind of tragic to have that orientation. But the thing that I have to say about that, Tim, is that really each and every being, every human being, whether they're listening or not, has their own unique journey. And people begin their journey in all different kinds of ways, you know, and it can happen at different times in your life. It can happen as a result of a near-death experience where you, in that out-of-body state, you actually see yourself on the operating table or going over the cliff, as I did once. I was driving along and came around a corner in a very rough country road, and it was on a cliff, and it was twilight, and there was a car approaching me. It looked like it was a head-on. It was a narrow, very narrow piece of road. I swerved to avoid him in the direction of the cliff. The front wheel hit a chuck hole, and the car turned 180 degrees and sailed backwards off the cliff, sailed about 100 meters through the air, and landed in the crotch of a tree. This was in Fiji, Korolevu. And in that time that it was flying through the air, it was the only tree on the hillside, by the way, and the hillside was quite radical steep, you know. It was more than a 45-degree grade. And so I managed to have a movie sort of roll through in that time. And as I sat there gazing out at the dust swirling in the headlights in the twilight, I thought, well, that was that's fortunate, you know, and I thanked the tree. And I changed out of my tank top. I was on my way to catch a flight. And I was in tank tops and cutoffs and sandals, okay? So in the front seat, I put on my suit, and which was sort of hanging in the back, and rolled down the window because the door wouldn't open. It was wedged shut in the tree. And dropped my suitcase, opened the boot, dropped the suitcase out, and scrabbled up the steep hill. And
hitchhiked to the airport.
I hitchhiked to the airport. They stopped at Coraliva Police Station, but I had had the foresight to take the Avis policy out of the... they'll probably be after me on this one. This was years ago. But I had the fortune to have the insurance policy with me, and so the policeman said, oh, you're okay to go. So I got to the airport. I got on the plane, which was delayed, fortunately.
Wow. Yes.
And I sat down next to a missionary who's just back from, on his way back home from Papua New Guinea. And the movie they were playing was John Denver's Oh God.
Okay, that's a good one.
And then the next thing that happened was the plane took off, and it was just dawn, and the sun was, the sea was brick red with the sun coming up. And Fiji has like 500 islands, and they're all like little black diamonds in the sky. And the pilot says, if you look over out the starboard windows, you can see Vanuatu. And I looked out, and just as I looked out, he said, and we're crossing the international dateline, and you can set your watch back one full day and live that day again. So
what it meant was, I maintain that every soul has every person has a special time once in a lifetime where they can actually experience so many wonders of existence, and there's synchronicity and serendipity, and there might be a life-saving situation. So
some get it once, some get it three times, like I did, and all different. And there's inhuman design, which is another way of really understanding what your particular purpose and your destiny is. I'm what's known as a 3-5 profile, and they're the ones that are most likely to put their fingers in the light socket twice. Okay.
So yes. So again, a soul purpose. A person can have many different experiences to wake them up, and the universe, or God, or Source, or the Creator, or whatever, gives us this opportunity in this lifetime to actually break out of the confines of thinking just in our head, and allow us to realize that we're part of something so profound, so fantastic.
We're part of it, and that our understanding that your deepest desire, your highest potential, is what you have to go for. In other words, you got to grab the ring. And it's not about owning a super yacht or something, you know. It's what can you, because we get into the notion here of who's this for? Service to self or service to others?
Thank you.
So all the choices that we make, if they're self-serving, you know, and there are a few people that come to mind, you know, who have more zeros after their name now than I can count.
Great.
That are definitely not in service to others and are looking at
controlling
the planet.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and they can buy politicians, and political tyranny lives on a gullible populace. And make no mistake, innocence seems to ask for evil, Tim. And it's difficult to resist the call of your soul, of your acorn, whether it's for good or otherwise. And, you know, I mean, it can activate psychopathic potential for serious crime, you know?
I had a friend who was one of the top artists on our planet and also one of the top musicians in Europe. And she was a Leo. She let out a light all the time. And boy, did she get every guy coming towards her. And their intent was always to use her, always to take her, to use her. And all she wanted to do was be a loving flower child. And that's what happened.
Yeah, well, you have to learn how to hide your light. This is definitely something that is important. There's simple ways to do it. The first thing to do is to get grounded and stay grounded. We can all visualize a grounding cord that extends from our first chakra down to the center of the earth, and you can make it something like a tree root, or you can make it like an anchor chain, or you can make it anything you like, but just as long as it anchors you. The other thing is that when you encounter a being that you're not sure of what their intentions are, you do what's called go to gold. In other words, we've all got an aura. If you can visualize your aura, visualize it coming in close to your body as a golden sheath, protection, okay? And if the person discloses that they don't have the right intent, or you suspect that they are not really being straight with you, visualize a rose between you. Put up a rose, as we say, and that kind of blocks any negativity that might be coming your way. Those are three simple ways to protect yourself at that basic level.
Is it a white rose?
It's your rose, and some people have a rose that's white. Some have a burgundy-colored one or a yellow one. Some have one that's wide open. Some have one that's a tight bud. But it's yours uniquely, and if you put that up there, and it's the one you put up every time, then that's your protection.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Because there's a lot of politicians who originally go into politics.
Yep.
And they're optimistic, they're honest, they're good, they're really what you want. And they are so honest and so open that the so-called darker politicians see, here's our problem, and it's not too long before that person is compromised in one way or another, or essentially finds himself in a situation where they have to withdraw from politics because it's too toxic there.
A Chinese politician named Bo Yang, that's actually his pen name, says that politics is a little bit like a soy paste vat. And if you take a fresh peach and throw it into a soy paste vat and come back a week later, it will look like a dried turd. And that's exactly what happens to people. They come in, they're fresh, they're full of vitality, they're full of goodness and tasty and everything, and all of a sudden it's all sucked out of them.
Yes.
We've seen that time after time where politicians, because they get a dose of a very hard reality when they walk in the door, they become very different people.
It's true, and this is a very sad situation. You become very, very hard in the end. And it's a difficult place to orient yourself. I'm speaking with Bill Watson on our soul and how we can grow it and ourselves and make a deeper commitment to what soul is. Now, Bill, for those people, again, who still don't believe in a soul, there are the transhumanists.
Oh, golly.
Bill, there's one thing there that has come on board now, particularly with the so-called fourth industrial revolution, the intelligence and computers and chips and wherever that's going. And there's this transhumanist agenda where they're saying, okay, well, because we're going to die soon, we'd best see if we can find a machine or a robot to take our consciousness so that we can actually live beyond the frailties of our body that'll die at 80 or 90 years of age. And this is huge in some areas in the world because A lot of the atheistic people think, well, I don't believe in a soul, so here's an opportunity for me to be able to get a machine, and I'll live as a machine, as a robot. And we know that Google have got a big push, and Ray Kurzweil is the so-called idol of the transhuman agenda. Is there anything you wanted to mention on this before we get back to the soul again?
Sure. It's very relevant to the soul, all of the aspects of it, in fact. The technological society and transhumanism are like hand in glove. Okay. We're living through the death of one era and witnessing the birth of another. And life as it was previously known is being dismantled by the transhumanists right before our eyes. These are people that want to be gods on this dimension of reality. They don't care about ascension. They're quite happy to control humans here. And many of the things that are going on right now, we know, for example, that when you and I were born, it was one autistic child in about 40,000. Well, now it's one in 12, and by 2025, it's said to be one in two. Okay, that provides them with fertile ground for experimentation with the cloud, with actually giving souls complete access to all the information there is. The catch in that is that they won't have a thought of their own. And what we're going to see in the future, I believe, is groups of autistics who are able to solve problems that are beyond our capability, but they will be functionally useless in many other ways. They will be essentially human 2.0. And they're being used for specific purposes that are not really in humans' best interest. So, unfortunately, the likely future is going to be closer to things like Insurgent and Hunger Games. And as you well know, we have been given things that are hidden in plain sight that are telling us what the future is going to be, that are programming the young people to accept the control that they want to exercise over us. That's what's coming, and it's not a question of whether we can stop it. It's a question of how we adapt to that kind of a world. And that means that we have to be thinking about how we prepare for something that's very different from what we've known. And 2020 has been a real shock for a lot of people, and it's being driven by the technocrats, the transhumanists, and the globalists, and they are all one and the same.
Thank you, Bill. Now, you said about all these people who are autistic. Mm. Are they like going to be like savants?
Yeah, you could say idiot savant. Yeah, it's, I mean, extreme autism, someone is not capable of functioning in society, and there are many today that are institutionalized. What is likely to be offered to them or and their parents is for an opportunity to experiment with technology that would give them all the knowledge in the world.
But that's the knowledge that we know, and only on this dimension, and it's only on this plane. So it's extremely limited in my perspective.
Well, it is in mine as well, and of course, it's trap. It's a soul trap. In other words, you'll be coming back again and again and again. And of course, the vaccine that is planned, if it has our mRNA, which is messenger RNA in it, we know that it has the potential to actually alter our soul code and change our ability to move between dimensions.
Okay, Bill, you've mentioned come back again and again and again, so you're talking reincarnation.
Yep.
And lives of the future. Well, I wasn't going to really get into that, even though it's my most favourite subject, but we've got so much else what we want to be able to talk about today.
That's
but,
fine.
But just quickly, reincarnation is a philosophical or religious belief that the non-physical essence of our being starts to come back, gets born into a new body each time we experience a lifetime, and after that we go to another body, but there is a time when we'll be able to break free from the wheel of rebirth. And once we've experienced all these lifetimes of being in male and female bodies and rich and poor bodies and successful and non-successful bodies, we will then get wise enough and conscious enough to be able to break free of this profound cycle. And that's this other story that I'd like to talk at another time. So, Bill, there's another thing. People say that we are angelic souls. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that I've spent time around people who've had communications with animals after they've died, myself included. Can you let us know a little bit more about this angelic soul extension? Because this takes us to another higher dimension.
Well, we originally started out as service to others, as a what you'd call a fourth density being. But the fall, where basically we were given a choice that we accepted, and that dropped us back into service to self as a modality, as a life choice. Now, we are, in a sense, many of us are ready to, we've got the lessons that we need from third density, and it's time to move on, because the universe is full of wondrous things, and we're only seeing about 4% of what's possible here. And what we need to be conscious of is that making the right choices, and to my mind, vaccination is an important choice. It's actually a critical choice. Some choices will prevent us from not only fully actualizing our soul's potential on this dimension, but it means that we will be coming back more than perhaps we need to or would like to.
Okay, yes. Well, I've had enough. I've enjoyed this existence, but I'm quite happy to transit from my body into the next level of becoming, for want of a better word. However, I still want to be able to see peace on earth in my lifetime. I still want to be able to see a biosphere with all biota coming back into balance again, so that essentially I leave this planet far better than when I came into it back in 1949.
That's a service to others planet, Tim, and I will say that it's possible, but I wouldn't rate the probabilities too high, because as Carl Jung used to say, not out but through. We have to go through. We are entering a new era. The old era was to do with planning and cooperation. It started in the beginning of the 17th century, and this is a 417-year cycle that ends in 2027. And at that time, that's when we're shunting into, much deeper into, this transhumanist agenda. So personally, I think that humanity is going to have to make some adaptations. And I'm talking here about the angelic soul group, because there's another soul group that is going to be in charge. The Matrix, which is the programming that we all are exposed to, is turning away from us, and it's turning toward a new kind of being. Just as it turned away from the Neanderthals about 12,000 years ago in the direction of Homo sapiens. Well, you could say that most people think of themselves as seven-centered beings, you know, the seven chakras. Actually, since 1781, we're nine-centered beings, and we are Homo sapiens in transitus. So we are transiting off this plane of reality into another. But the choices that we make at this time are absolutely vital to how we exit the planet. In other words, when we pass on, where we go and where we end up.
Well, see, I put it down to right thought, right statement, and right action. Those are the three very important things that we must be conscious of all the time. But you hear people putting out so many expletives because they're not really in control of who they are. they're allowing their emotions to run riot. And in doing so, they're making more, shall we say, karma. And I think this is the first time karma's come up in this conversation, Bill. So, again, what we're doing is we're realizing that for you, dear listeners, and for myself included, that everything that we do, we've got to be 100% conscious, because we are. We're shifting from one paradigm to another. We're in the birth canal to this new paradigm. And at the moment, we're going through a major contraction on a planetary scale, and we have to really be strong within our own being, keep our own inner candle burning strongly, so that we can pass through this into the new realm. And we want as many people to come through, good people to come through this, because this is what we're here. This planet, in many ways, is a classroom. But essentially what we're doing is we're destroying the classroom. We're burning the classroom down, when in actual fact, we don't realize and have reverence for the life support system that supports all of us, that we are a gift. Everything is free. We've got a free body. We've been given free air, free rainwater, and until recently a free food chain. And where does the fourth component of that, soul? Where does soul come from? Well, the Latin word for sun is soul. So there is an extension of that as well.
A few things to comment on there, Tim. The first would be that it might be difficult for people who are currently out of a job, out of money, out of a house.
Thank you, Bill. Very important.
To accept that notion about all the free things. But I'd like to point out that all karma means is that you don't get away with anything.
That's right. That's right. Well, there's a thing called the Akashic Records, and that's another state of being, where every action that we have done, every thought that we've put out, is registered in the universal repository. And so all those people who take shortcuts, who lie, who steal, who do dastardly deeds, guess what? It's all coming back to us. And it has to, because this is how it works. Because get a pebble and a pool of water, drop that pebble into the center of the pool, it ripples out to the edge of a pool, and where does it go from there? It returns back to the center where the source comes from. So, Bill, it's intent. It's our intent.
Absolutely. Intention is the key word. But got to recall that a lot of people that are listening now are in emotional pain. And, you know, what's at the core of that is the radical changes that are going on. We got weather instability, aerosol pollution. We got frequency technologies, that 5G and AI and all of that. We've got what some perceive as political betrayal on a global scale, corruption and fake news and whatnot. And a lot of fear about vaccine contamination, you know, and probably the biggest fear of all is this globalist great reset, the economic instability and the problem reaction solution that they're going to come in with, which is universal basic income. Well, that's in a way kind of a kiss for death. I think this is particularly hard, Tim, for teens. I mean, they're being bombarded with dark dystopian messages, and they're increasingly isolated with their devices, you know, the loss of personal contact because of the lockdowns and whatnot. And most don't seem to know that they've been lied to, that they've been homogenized, they've been indoctrinated at school. They don't have the historic context to know that their choice is being eroded.
Thank you. This is really important, Bill, because, I mean, I've got a 32-year-old niece, and she hasn't got the historical context from where we come. We old dudes, fortunately, we've still got our mental faculties relatively in order, and we can remember how good it was in the past, how more open, how more we worked together, and how more we cooperated. And at the moment, we're having to remind people that we are energy bundles of exponential potential. We have the possibility for so much, but we've been crimped by the system.
Yeah, I believe that. You know, the future, I think, for humans 1.0 like us is community. I think we will need each other. We'll need to share resources. We'll need to be compassionate with one another. Those are becoming increasingly rare skills, actually. I think that it's going to be important to work with your local community and use this time within the next couple of years, really.
I'd say next few months.
Yes, to engage in kind of community healing.
Thank you.
So it's a difficult patch. You know, this isn't a sort of a light and jolly kind of talk we're having, but I see that as the coming reality, that there's going to be an increase in control, and there are going to be very hard choices to make that are going to be quite uncomfortable. And probably the choice about whether to be vaccinated is probably going to be one of the hardest.
And if you don't get a vaccination, then you go to the back of the line and you're going to miss out on other things. They'll say, well, we're going to have to put you in an enclosure because you're a hindrance to society. So there's that coming at you as well. There's so many things. So what it is we need to be able to become far more aware. We've got to do our research. We've actually got to work on ourselves, and we've got to be able to source material that will allow us to get a higher and a greater viewpoint of what's happening here. We need to be able to, in many ways, I do, Bill, I spend most of my time sort of hovering out in space and looking at planet Earth of 7.8 billion human beings and all this biota, and just see what's happening in all these different countries and realizing, boy, here we are. I'd say 85 to 90% of the human race are essentially good human beings. So let's use this knowledge to see if we can come together. And I mean, I'm an idealist, so that's how it is. But we do what we can.
Yep, I agree with that. And, you know, and one of the hardest emotions to deal with, Tim, is the feeling of betrayal. And we've been betrayed once again by scams. And souls in the modern world have been traumatized by the cumulative toxic effect of a number of stressors. You know, I mean, we've seen mass migration and increasing family instability. The chemicals, the threats of global nuclear warfare and diets of GMO and processed foods and all that. So it's getting more and more difficult for human souls to find a healthy balance. And we need to help each other as much as possible. So I'm
optimistic. I'm people say I'm overly optimistic, Bill. And as you say, hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bill, we've got 3 minutes. Can you throw something in there to allow people to realize that we have all this possibility and potential?
Absolutely. Okay. One of the things, Tim, that I think is really a useful modality is what most people know as Bach flowers. They're flower essences, but Dr. Bach himself said health depends on being in harmony with our souls. So he believed that the soul plays a key role in our overall health and resilience, especially in recovery from illness. And when you think about flowers, they're actually the soul expression of the plant. And as a modality, flower essences are based on frequency matching, and they're used specifically for cleansing and rebalancing the mental emotional state. So they give space to the soul to unblock the energy system in the body to the point where it's able to nourish and heal the body-mind. Okay, so basically it stimulates our ability to take responsibility for our personal growth, and that's what is desperately needed at this time, to get out of your fear. And there are very specific essences for fear and also for depression, and there's even one called Green Cross Gentian that is for pain for Gaia.
Mother Earth, yeah, yeah. It's a remedy for what we call nature deficit disorder in psychology.
Thank you. Bill, what's your contact, please?
0274-850-038. 0274-850-038.
Well, Bill, look, Mount Vernon in Oxfordshire, that's where Dr. Edward Bach that's his little house where he started it all off. I managed to go there a number of times over the years and get a whole rescue remedies and everything else.
And that was bought by a pharmaceutical company, Tim, and they started making the Bach remedies that are the Mount Vernon Bach in a homeopathic way, which is not the way that Bach did it. And so there's a flower essence company called Healing Herbs that the people that used to work with Bach split off. And if you buy the Healing Herbs, you get the real thing.
Excellent, Bill. Look, oh, thank you. Yes, we need to heal our soul. And sun and all flowers come out in the daylight. They're taking in soul light, sunlight. Mm. Bill, thank you very much for coming in. And there were so many interesting little things. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Tim. And it's a topic that basically what I'm thinking is that it's such a comprehensive subject. You know, there are so many different aspects or dimensions of it that it's very hard to cover it in 50 minutes. And we jumped around a bit.
Yes. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, cheers, brother.
Cheers, mate.
That was Bill Watson assisting me in talking about what is soul. And I want to thank him for his very sensitive approach and his many years of understanding to be able to help us heal and be the human being that we wish to be and grow into the light of our own true selves. So thank you, Bill. There is really so much for us to say. And there is an old First Nations saying that you can hear of in America, of an old Cherokee teaching his grandson about life. He says, "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The same fight is going on inside you and inside every person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." Here is another one by Captain Edgar Mitchell, Sixth Man on the Moon. "God sleeps in the minerals, awakens in plants, and walks in the animals, and thinks in man." So what is our next evolutionary spiritual step? Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to. to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch in the Spirit.